Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 75th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Benedikt Erlingsson. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So you are one of the finalists of the Lux Prize with your film, Woman at War. So I guess the first, kind of the obligatory question would be, how would you sort of introduce the film to a listener who may not be familiar with it?
Yes, it is. Well, there are many answers to this question.
Yeah.
I can say, you know, sometimes I think, you know, in I can say this is a film that tries to be more than a film. And then I can, you know, give you some phrases. I can say this is an action, arthouse, thriller with a lot of music. You know, if that helps. But I can also tell you there is no death, there is no blood, there is no sex in the film. There is a lot of passion. One drop of blood, though, but there is helicopters and drones and, you know, a lot of stuff, you know. So, of course, it's about a woman that wants to save the world, you know, and she has found the way to do it.
Uh-huh.
And she's followed by her inner demons, musicians, that, you know, we see. Uh-huh. And so it's a road movie, action movie, what do you call it? An art house action movie.
Right.
And as we are here in Italy, I can make a phrase, I can say, if Fellini had gone to Hollywood and made an action film, this is that kind of film, maybe.
Wow, that's some statement, yeah.
No, only for you, because I'm in the, you know, land of Fellini.
So. Well, do you like Fellini?
Of course, yeah. He's the biggest of the biggies, so,
right.
You know.
What's like the your favorite?
Eight and a half weeks.
8.5.
Yeah. And I can continue on Satyricon. Or,
right.
Or
what do you like about Fellini?
Well, he has just, he opens up into the subconscious, in a way. For me, you know, his films are not only stories. It's he breaks into this area where only film media can do that. The experience of seeing film is also like a dream.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like talking to your subconscious, a dream or a fantasy of your own. So, and that's unique with Tarkovsky has it also. You know, mm-hmm. It's not just a straight story. When you're sitting there, you feel something like you've been dreaming.
Right.
And it's very unique, and it's a great gift to the humankind that we had Fellini.
Fellini, Tarkovsky, they come
Pasolini,
from
you know,
Pasolini,
one of my first film.
I got a tattoo, Pasolini.
Yeah, wow. My first film was based on Decameron. I made a film about horses and men, and I built it up like, yeah, Pasolini's Decameron, you know, or Canterbury Tales, you know, many stories. So I'm, you know, prodigy also. I come from an island in the north that is a volcano island, like Sicily,
uh-huh,
you know. But I've been, you know, my spirit is here in the south,
right,
in some sense.
Mm. Well, you know, how can, you know, apparently two countries so different be so alike, you know? That's interesting.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
also, Fellini, Tarkovsky, all those people experimented with cinema a lot.
Mm.
They were influenced by other art forms. Mm. You made a list of things that are in your film. Mm. I know that you're also involved with theater.
Mm.
Do you find that particularly influences your films?
Yes, I'm a performer. You know, maybe more known like as a clown in Iceland or a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I've done storytelling theater, stand-up, and then I'm also, you know, director in theater. In Iceland, we are not many, so we have to do everything. So
right,
we have many hats.
So
of course, dilettantes on all areas. So I've done my bit of show business, yes, and it of course influences me. And it,
comedy in particular.
Yeah.
And comedy, does it influence your movies? Like, say that
they say so. People are laughing. You know, my film is a serious film, but apparently it's also comedian or comical in some sense. And But it's just the way I tell stories, you know.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you as well, also again, because I'm very interested in the theater and cinema kind of relationship to one another.
Yeah.
What do you think, you know, aside from the obvious, you can achieve with cinema that you wouldn't be able to achieve with theater?
Well, I think it's in a way pretty much the same thing with good theater. In a way, we are revealing something in the storytelling of cinema and theater, or storytelling, or, you know, all artists are revealing something. And one of the things that I like with this kind of storytelling is that we are telling the public, some sense, that he is believing in Santa Claus. You know, there are a lot of Santa Clauses. We believe in money, we believe in capitalism, we believe in a lot of ideas that are floating there and they're changing. And they are, these are all, you know, cognitive ideas. Mm-hmm. This is just imaginations. And in theater and film, we can see this. We can realize, wow, this is just a cultural thing. Oh, this is just a belief. Wow. So I think it has the ability to make us better citizens, better human beings. It can, if it's good, touch our value system.
Yeah.
You know, it can make us better and worse, as you know. Culture is also a very important tool for propaganda, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very dangerous and very powerful tool. And it's a tool, you know, that we are using all the time.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Mm.
So your background as a performer as well, how does that inform the way in which you direct actors? Let's say Women at War.
Yeah, well, in the case of Women at War, the actress, you know, we performed together when we were 10 years old on the stage of National Theatre. So we are old friends. And I'm also an actor. We've been acting together and so on. So my problem with her is not to go into the trap and act for her. You know, that is the what no actor wants, the actor to act for him.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, we are educated in the same theater school, so we are using, you know, all the methods, you know, referring to Stanislavski, talking about objective, talking about situation, you know, finding ways to release, to make her private in public, you know. Mm. You know, it's the... That's the basic method of the director, to give the actor an objective, a goal, so he can, you know, just do what he's supposed to do and you know, don't be too conscious.
Well, I like the camera. That phrase, private and public. That's a very interesting phrase.
Yeah, it's the problematic of acting. It's like Stanislavski put it like this: you are standing on the red square in front of 10,000 people.
Yeah.
You have a woman in front of you. You don't know her, and you're supposed to say to her, "I love you," and everybody that is there are supposed to believe you and hear what you say. So this is the problematic of the actor. He doesn't know the woman, you know, he has to shout this and everything is, you know, so this is the challenge of acting in that sense in States. So that's why we are trying to solve this problem, to be believable and be heard.
I'm fascinated with all that stuff. But we're running out of time.
We have lessons together. I can take you in masterclass here. But you are acting all the time. You are doing it also. We are all acting.
I realize that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of, I'm haunted by it sometimes.
Yes.
The roles of the interviewer and interviewee is a performance.
Yeah. And one of our basic tricks is status. We are status animals. We are taking high... I could take high status here in this interview, you know. I would spread out, you know. I would talk with a deeper voice, you know. You know. And then what will happen to you? You will either raise your status.
Yeah.
Or you will accept and go under, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's this game of status. Now we are trying to have an equal status. And, you know, and it's, you know, if I touch my, you know, I will take down my status if I touch my face and so on. So we have a lot of tricks in the trade, you know, to help us. And that's something we are in our life doing unconsciously, but of course we are conscious.
Yeah.
In the world of show business, we are conscious motherfuckers manipulating the audience.
Hey, you know, that's a great... Well, that would be a great way to end it if it wasn't for the fact that, because we're also talking about Lux Prize, I thought that a nice way to wrap up the interview would be to talk about European cinema and just... a general comment on European cinema, how it influences you,
well,
past or future?
You know, the European cinema is on a crossroads. It's we are fronting the digital revolution. And it's just a matter of survival or not. Now, the 12th of September, there will be an election in the European Parliament about the copyright directive. And it's a make or break for all audiovisual artists, you know. We love, of course, the free internet, but we are bleeding out, you know. The creative brands is bleeding out of Europe. You can compare it with the Middle Ages, where we had hats on the market square, we were performing, people gave us money, you know. And then they did not give us money, you know. And they, yet they saw the show, and we found the theater ticket, we, you know, it's a historical thing. In London, we created theaters where we had access to, we could control the access of the theater, we could sell tickets. It was a new invention. And from that came the Elizabeth Theatre, it came the Modern Theatre and Cinematic Theatre and so on. Now, with digital revolution, it's gone. You know, we have no direct line. How do we make bread of our ideas? Yeah. You know, and this is just, you know, if this is just the big principle, and it's really important now, the 12th of September. So we are just, you know, all artists in the audiovisual are just watching, you know, and waiting.
I agree with you 100%. There's a reason why cinema is reputed as being born in 1895 at the screening of the Lumiere Brothers. Mm. It was a paid performance because films were made before then. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that, because I knew I was aware of it. It's great to have a recording of you, your thank statement you. On the end. And thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you. Fantastic. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.